Think about the things you use every day. Your keys, your phone, the hundreds of small objects that just work. We trust them, rely on them, and rarely think about them. But every one of those things has a fascinating backstory. Welcome to Extraordinary Everyday. I'm Anthony Burke. What if I told you that one of the biggest design revolutions in modern life wasn't the smartphone or the car, but the washing machine? Before buttons and spin cycles, laundry meant boiling water, pounding fabric, breathing in smog, and quite literally, wringing your life out by hand. It was slow, physical, and mostly invisible labour. So, how do we go from wooden tubs and dollies to sleek push-button machines? And what does that evolution tell us about design, technology, and the lives of people using them? Annie Turnbull is a curator at the Powerhouse Museum in Sydney, where they have a collection of washing machines. Annie, thank you for joining me.
Oh, pleasure.
It's great to talk to an expert about washing machines, something we all have a relationship to. Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. And we have about 28 in the museum's collection. So they seem to clump in a certain time frame from about 1907. The earliest is 1887 until the most recent is 1993.
Okay.
So
it's a big history.
It is.
It feels like a big history.
It is an interesting one. And you're very right when you talk about it was an invisible world, because, of course, it was women's world. Mm. So washing machines, they're not like sewing machines, which took off and became available with one producer, Singer, in 1887. But they had a number of producers. So, again, you're right that the original way of cleaning clothes was sort of bashing them on a riverside. Or you use something called a dolly, which was a wooden construct with a stick and four or five sort of wooden spokes at the end that you used to bash the clothes with.
Right. Okay. So, and how labour-intensive was that? Oh, it sounds awful.
Absolutely. And, there was a tradition, particularly in Britain, of Monday as a washing day. Mm-hmm. So I've been reading there were ads for housemaids who could apply for the job, and they would have to arrive at the household at 1 a.m. and would finish doing the household washing at 6 p.m.
Oh, wow. So more than a full day's work by far to just keep up.
And also what they used to do, the laundry would be outside of the main house if you're upper class, obviously, and it would be a tub and a boiler if you're lucky, but often it was running water. You needed to have access to running water and suds. And I think people didn't wash actually as much in the 17th and 1800s as we do now, and they didn't wash their clothes as much either. So I think
about once a week.
Depends on which century and which time. But yes, I think once a week.
Let's say Victorian times.
Say Victorian times. This is where that wash day on Monday came in.
Yeah.
Because Sunday was the day of rest, so that you'd have the energy to actually do the washing on the Monday.
It sounds so physical. All the bashing and all the carting of water and boiling of stuff.
Well, you had to collect the clothing. You had to separate it into different types of materials and coloured materials, if there was much coloured material. And then you had to wash it. Then you had to boil it. Then you had to rinse it. Then you had to dry it. You had to wring it, which I don't know if anyone's ever seen the kind of wringers that some houses and my parents' uncle's holiday house had a wringer in it that you'd have to put wet clothing through to dry. But that was a later invention in the later 1800s. So incredibly physically demanding, not glamorous, still needed, but I think it was along with the Industrial Revolution, with the change in weaving and the technology with weaving, that commercially the idea of having some form of mechanical washing machine started. And there was also the international exhibitions, which started in England in 1851. It was called the Great Exhibition. It was a place where manufacturing and industries like textiles would show off their wares. There were seven types of washing machines on display. But reading the text, basically they were for commercial use, not for personal use.
What's the date, would you say, of the first personal washing machine then?
Well, I think they were around in the 1840s in America. What is interesting between the history of the development of the sewing machine, again, another domestic and interior and women's job, was there was one maker, really, that took over the market in America. That was Singer. Okay. He bought out the patents of others. But with washing machines, after the International Exhibition, there were 2,000 patents in America for washing machines.
Right, right.
So there's basically two mechanisms, I think. There's a circular one, and then there's the pounding.
Right.
Okay. But
the bashing and the spinning.
That's right. Yeah. The materials could differ. They could be wooden and then later aluminium and then other materials as sort of technology advanced. But 2,000 different patents is a lot.
Yeah.
And in Australia, we didn't take the washing machine up as much in our daily life as people in America did and as in England. And I think there's a number of reasons. If we look at the kind of late 18th century and the early 19th century, when we were still using British ideals of washing Monday, they were not cheap. There were a number of products from America Australians could buy, and firms like Anthony Horton's and David Jones would advertise them in their catalogues. But if you had to decide between buying a washing machine that was still mechanical until the electric washing machine in 1910, would you do that, or would you choose to buy
food or
other materials for the household?
Stick with the timber tub and the boiler.
And maybe if you're lucky enough to employ someone, a laundress,
right,
put your clothing into a laundrette.
So when those personal washing machines started to appear in Australia in around 1910, how did they change a day in the life? And things like the Monday washing day, did that change?
Well, I don't think many households had washing machines. If you did have one, like, washing was seen as the worst household task a woman could do because it took so long and it was so exhausting.
Right.
So with a 1947 washing machine, it would take 2 or more hours. A modern washing machine takes 35 minutes to 50 minutes. But pre-1900s, it would have been the whole day. So I guess if you had access to one, it would shorten your load. But until the 1950s, I don't think many Australian households had washing machines.
So it took a long time to kind of find its way into the everyday life of most Australians.
I think it was
about 50 years or so.
Yeah, and it was also linked to innovations in other areas like access to running water, access to hot water, access to electricity. So even though Sydney got power in 1901 from the power stations in Ultimo and Pyrmont, did houses outside Sydney have access to power to run their domestic appliances? And also there were some of the washing machines look kind of quite primitive, and I know the laundries also had a bit of a bad rep, depending on your laundromat or laundry, of ruining the clothes.
Right, yeah. Aggressive or...
Or would have been...
Not sophisticated enough?
Not sophisticated, I think. And the other thing that has changed, of course, is the kind of clothing that we wear. And we buy more, we have synthetic fibres, you know, we throw things away more, but we wash them more often. But there's a couple of washing machines that I really like.
I was going to ask you, you've got those at the powerhouse, don't you?
Yeah, we do.
What are your favourites?
Well, the one I really like, which was made in Melbourne in 1879 to 1889, is called the compressed air manual washing machine. And it was
hydraulic.
Yes. Well, you still had to wind it. If you look at the picture, it's very cute. It looks like a torpedo.
Oh, right.
on a sort of a construct with a wheel that you would have to turn to make it move.
Okay.
So you would open it up and you would put the laundry in there with the water and the soap suds. It was shown at the International Exhibition in Sydney in 1879, but you put washing soda, sodium carbonate, on the torpedo-shaped tub, which pivoted on a stand. The lid was sealed, and by rocking the tub for about 5 minutes, the washing was said to have been completed. I doubt this.
5 minutes.
I doubt this.
Mm-hmm.
So it was unusual for the time, and originally it had corrugated steel on the inside so that would brush the dirt off or bash the clothes
almost
a bit.
So you've also have a story about one of the earlier washing machines that a family donated.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. So it's always lovely when we get an object that's got a history of use and social history around it. And this particular washing machine, I think we got it in the 80s when we were developing what was the new museum in Ultimo that opened in 88. So it's called the Universal Washing Machine. And it was made by Landers, Frey and Clark of New Britain, Connecticut, USA. So it was purchased by the family in 1929. So the donor's father purchased it for his mother for approximately £20. So at the time of purchase, this poor woman, I'm putting my own sense here, had hand washed for a family of nine in a wooden tub on a washboard with a big mangle on a cast iron stand. The donor's father thought she was tired, so he bought the universal. It was thought by the donor to have been purchased from a department store, Anthony Horden's, mm-hmm. or Grace Brothers, and brought to the house in a horse and cart from Wurrunga Railway Station. The machine revolutionised her life, and I particularly like this bit. We all stood around and watched it.
a family gathering around the washing machine.
Was mother still doing the washing?
Yeah, that's right. And she's standing there with her arms folded going, well, you took your time bringing this home, didn't you?
And the mother complained after a while it was getting shabby, and they repainted it after World War II, and it was replaced by another in 1946, but was still working. And there's another Amazing. Point as to the housing that we had in Australia and whether or not the laundry was inside or whether it was outside, like we had the outside dunnies. So a lot of our houses that we lived in the 20th century were still 19th century housing stock. So in as late as 1955, half the houses in Brisbane, Melbourne and Sydney were without hot running water.
So I mean, with that kind of history there, what about today? We've obviously come a long way since the 50s in that moment. So what's the kind of the playing field now for sophistication in a washing machine?
Well, I think it's going to be small increments of change. Because innovation doesn't happen overnight, does it? The changes that could occur in washing machines will be more and more subtle. Less water, less energy, AI being used to weigh the clothes so you only use a certain amount of water necessary for the types of material that are being washed.
Annie Turnbull, it's so great to talk to you. Thank you very much for bringing us the history of the washing machine.
Oh, thanks so much.
Annie Turnbull, curator at the Powerhouse Museum. Want more episodes like this? Find them on ABC Listen. Just search Anthony Burke's By Design and follow along.